In association with Newsarama, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. It's time for the conclusion of the Bendis tapes. More from Brian Michael Bendis' message board with questions from the JinxWorld.com folks about Secret Invasion, the Avengers books, Ultimate Spider-Man, and more. Plus, a new wrinkle as we receive an email in the midst of the program, which will be leading to the next episode of this very podcast. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by MailOrderComics.com. Today's comics at yesterday's prices. If you've liked them before, you'll want to check them out today. They've got all new 75% discounts on selected pre-order new releases and more discounts than ever before. They want to be your subscription service for all your comic book related items. Right now you can order several Bendis trades featuring arcs of the Avengers, Ultimate Spider-Man, Alias, and more, all at 38% off the cover price. To see it for yourself, go to MailOrderComics.com. Word Balloon is also sponsored by Scott Reed and Shane White, creators of The Overman from Image Comics. This December, Image presents The Overman, a 5-issue sci-fi noir story that follows hired killer Nathan Fisher as he fails to stop an apocalyptic union of mankind and machine. His discovery of a cryptic plot to change the face of evolution sends him spiraling down a roller coaster of imminent destruction. Read what Broken Frontier calls a story that promises to be grand in scope. Mark Waite says, "Riveting. I couldn't put it down." And Ain't It Cool News says, "This is truly a memorable and impressive debut series worth checking out." If you want to see more details, check out their website and head to theovermancomic.com. If you haven't heard part one of the Bendis tapes, it is on the RSS feed. Make sure you check out either the link at Newsarama or at iTunes or at all the various podcatcher sites, including the podcast Pickle Player that we also use on my MySpace page. But without further ado, let's wrap up this edition of the Bendis tapes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pick it up with this guy's name.
Okay, here we go.
Speedball McButtcalf, ladies and gentlemen.
Speedball McButtcalf.
Why not?
Hey, I'm going to have to talk to the mods about some of these names. I clearly am not paying enough attention. Speedball McButtcalf got on.
I just recently read Secret War for the first time, and I dug it quite a bit.
Thank you.
Since Daredevil was involved with this, shouldn't we expect to see Matt Murdock's involvement at least a little bit in Secret Invasion?
Yeah. He goes, "Do you guys hear that?" And that's it. That's him.
Another question about old Hornhead, because he's so
okay.
Close. How closely have you been working with...
If you said old Hornhead, you could have done the Stan Lee voice.
That's true. All right, here. Another question about old Hornhead. How closely have you been working with Ed Brubaker in regards to the Hood? I was shocked to see him in the last page of DD 101. Shocked in a giddy like a schoolgirl way.
Well, it's weird to hear Stan say schoolgirl. But, I'm ahead from Ed, and I'm a few issues ahead of Ed, so they're available to all the writers to just go ahead and dig in and see where I am. And that's one of the good things about being ahead, is that you kind of can help dictate things a little bit, you know, for people who need it. So, yeah, you know, like I think Ed said to me, "Hey, Kingpin coming back?" And I said, "Well, I it's up to you, man. I'm doing the Hood." And he goes, "Oh, I guess I'll do the Hood." I think that's what he said.
Nice.
Oh, it's David Mack on my other line.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm going to answer it while I'm on the phone with you.
Still free. I love when that happens.
Hello, David Mack. I'm very good. I'm actually on a podcast right now. I'm doing Word Balloon right now, and they can hear me talking to you.
Hi, Mack.
I'm going to put you on speaker, and then you can say hi to people on the podcast and then listen to you.
That'd be awesome.
I'm going to put you on speaker.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Can you hear me, David Mack?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. There he is.
Hey, this is John from Word Balloon. You ever listen to Word Balloon?
Yes.
Okay, only one.
Sorry, Mac. How are you, buddy?
They just asked me who I thought led the avant-garde in the comics medium, and I said you.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Isn't that magically called? Is that what happened?
Yeah, something on your body was itching because I was talking about you.
Pretty much, man.
Yeah, I was thinking about you, so.
There you go.
Thanks for mentioning that. I appreciate that.
Okay, I'm going to call you back a little later, and you can tell me whatever personal thing you're going to...
I'm drawing Avengers 39 right now.
Woohoo! Did you get any pages done?
I've got, 10 pages, loose pencils.
That's comic book language for no, he's got nothing. All right.
I've got 10 pages, totally solid, but, I don't have anything scanned or anything.
Okay, I'll call you in a little while.
Okay.
You want to plug your kids' book while you're on here?
The Shy Creatures Act New Kids Book, the newest published book I have out. I highly recommend it. Great for Christmas, after Christmas, anytime.
Kwanzaa, Hanukkah.
Day, Valentine's Day, I guess.
All right, very good. Talk to you later, buddy.
All right,
bye.
Take care, Mac. He couldn't hear me.
That. You had a guest star.
He couldn't hear me, could he?
No, you are barely hearable.
I kind of figured that, and that's why I didn't talk much with him. All right. Well, there you
all
go.
Right.
No, all thank right. you very much. Always happy to have a cameo. It's what happened on the Loeb episode when Alan and...
Stanley and David Mack in the same podcast.
Incredible. Well, you know, Loeb had Alan Heinberg and Jeff Johns pop on last time I had him on.
Oh.
So there you go.
Wait, here's Wally Wood.
Nice.
I was going to go, oh, like a zombie, but I decided it was important.
The late, great Wally Wood, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Always glad to have him on. Do you have any? Okay, let's see. I almost forgot. It looked like the Gwen clone escaped S.H.I.E.L.D. custody during the Doc Ock Gwen Green Goblin throwdown in Ultimate Spider.
It did.
Should we expect to see her again in the near future?
I believe that in an arc or two is something called the Symbiote War, and here she comes.
Very cool.
She's returning to the book.
Excellent. I'm really enjoying Christos Gage's House of M Avengers mini so far, as am I.
I haven't read the first one. I haven't read the other.
First two issues have been excellent. How much, if any, input did you have on the alternate backgrounds of the characters that show up in it?
I had notes on all that stuff. That's what they called me and said, we're thinking about doing this. And I said, really? And I said, yeah. And they go, do I have any problem with that? And I said, no. And they go, have any problem with Christos? So I said, no. And then out of complete respect to everyone involved, it said nothing else, because I
okay.
wouldn't want to hear from anybody like that if it was me, and it has been me in the past, and I've enjoyed the freedom, and I would not at all give notes or anything like that.
It was my favorite aspect of House of M, seeing that group together.
Yeah, I was surprised that there was enough interest, and I was thrilled that they pursued it. So
me too.
Nice.
Me too.
I'm glad it did well.
And honestly, Chris and Mike are doing a great job. Mike is really one of my favorite unsung artists. Anyway, Mike Perkins.
Yeah, I actually know what his next gig is, and it's going to blow your mind.
That's excellent, because he's one of my favorite people to talk to when I see him at cons and have him on
Whirlpool. Yeah, he got himself a big gig.
Good for him. He deserves it. And Chris is, I think Chris has been a great addition to both Marvel and Wildstorm.
Name. He's got a great public, like, author's name.
Gage.
I wish my name is a little Jewy. He's got a great, you know, that's David Mack, Christos Gage. Sounds like something's going to happen.
I love the alias, and I think it's a masterpiece. Any chance of you writing something for the Max line in the foreseeable future? If the rumors of Ennis, which have been confirmed, leaving the Punisher are true, is there any hope that you would write it?
I will not write that series. I would write for Max in the future. It was actually created for Alias.
That's right.
I feel an affinity towards it, and I love the F word.
Supreme Convoy. I recently joined the board, so I can ask these questions. So thanks for doing this. How do you feel about Bag the Moon in DC? We did that.
Yes, we did that.
Sorry,
one.
Pally. Have you ever considered being a DC exclusive?
I've never been asked. And Joe. Joe pulled me out of whatever you get pulled out of when you're nowhere. Relative obscurity of Caliber Comics and Indie Comics, and dusted me off and took a real chance on me. So I'm wherever Joe is.
All right, here. I don't know if it's been asked earlier, but how did you feel about Mark Miller not getting the Superman script gig when he claimed he'd do it for free? I think Warner Brothers could at least hurt a pitch.
First of all, I'm thrilled that Mark's agent was probably thrilled to hear him publicly saying he would do something for nothing, because I know that my agent loves when he gets 10% of my nothing. That aside, I've actually had a couple of run-ins with Warner Brothers as well, who have come to me a couple of times now asking for, I was literally offered something, flat out offered it, and it was quickly taken away when DC got wind of it. So I know that is a true story that he told. I had been down that exact road. And in fact, recently I had been offered something as well and just turned it down because I knew it was what road it was going to go down, and I didn't want to waste everyone's time. So it is true that, but that's completely their call. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, I understand.
It's fine. I completely understand it. I was shocked the first time it happened to me, but I understood it. I mean, there's been numerous reasons I haven't gotten numerous jobs, but it was the only difference between me and Mark is that I was actually offered something, only to have it taken away, where Mark was trying to represent himself as what I do think would have been a very great pitch. But truth told, there's probably a laundry list of screenwriters before any of us that are in the running for a Superman movie before a bunch of guys that have never actually had one made.
Right.
On the screen before, so.
No, and
it's business, baby.
It is, and I believe me, I think Mark has an excellent take on Superman, and I think he has shown it in the times that he has written the character, not only in Elseworlds, but even in the kids' Superman book that he did, where every 12 pages he'd give you an amazing Superman story.
I just don't think DC, as it is right now, would
of course not
be the best place for Mark, just because I just don't think he'd be able to be himself the way he is.
Oh, okay. Well, what I was going to say is I can understand DC feeling like, yeah, that's great, as opposed to taking a guy that's actually writing the book. You're going to get a guy from Marvel that did write the book.
Marvel and DC have always just had different ways of doing things. And going back, I mean, as reading The Tale to Astonish, and there was, they couldn't wait to get their hands on Kirby. They couldn't wait to steal Kirby away from Marvel.
Yes.
And they did, and immediately started redrawing all his faces.
You're right about that. Absolutely.
It's known fact that they redrew all his faces on the...
Specifically
on
the Jimmy Olsen stuff. Yeah.
And I always wonder, you know what I mean? I know that was decades ago, but there's always still a bit of that going on there. So I always wonder if Mark would thrive in that condition, or it would be the writing version of that for Mark. I don't know. I'm not a DC guy, so Mark dreams of it,
Yeah. I know that you mentioned you didn't like Daredevil Ninja, but I actually like the book.
No, there's a lot to like there.
Were there any plans?
I didn't like it. I just said I couldn't take responsibility for it either way.
Were there any plans to follow up the end of the book? The baby at the end seemed to have connections to Kevin Smith's Guardian Devil.
Well, that baby is Echo. People not get that? No, I'm joking. there are plans actually to follow it up, to be truthful.
Still there are plans.
Pardon?
There are still plans to follow it up?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Baby's got to grow up. Watching a baby train to be a samurai, not as fun as you might think it is.
So you're kind of doing like what Tarantino's going to do with Kill Bill and the kid?
Yeah. Come to me in 30 years. If you're still mad,
I'll be waiting. Brian, what do you like best about working for Marvel?
See, Mike is asking questions he wants us to ask him. That's exactly what I was talking about earlier when people are insulting you, but they're
nice.
Really talking about themselves. He wants us to ask him this question. Actually, my whole week last week was filled with all the things I love about working for Marvel. It was people who care, people's ideas, no one saying no for no reason. You know what I mean?
Sure.
This is creatively vibrant. Feel like you're doing something of value. I would buy these books. And on top of it, Hasbro came into the room and gave us free toys.
Nice.
They took home to my kid and blew her mind.
Any specific characters of yours that they've created? Or?
Pardon?
And like, is there a Geldof Hasbro toy now or anything? Or is there any?
They showed us slides of stuff that we're absolutely not allowed to talk about.
Okay.
But I will tell you, twice in the room I went, woohoo, when I saw the slides.
Cool. Please name a couple of specific instances where a penciler or an artist drew something completely unexpected or just added something himself that completely surprised you in a really good way. One example I can think of is during the final meeting between Vanessa Fisk and her son in your Daredevil run. I think the script was in the back of the trade, and there was no mention of adding the tiny skull as the reflection in the eyes of Vanessa in that final panel. I don't know if you talked about it beforehand or if you were surprised by it, but I absolutely loved it. I think it's a really good example, if completely Malieve's idea, or of a great symbiotic storytelling relationship between writer and artist. Are there any others?
Sometimes, and I'm not saying I'm not taking responsibility for this, but sometimes a script will come in and then a conversation will be had between artist and writer that's never written down that brings up ideas or, ideas are brought forth. And usually it's in those moments that some really magic happens,
mm-hmm.
But there's been a numerous time. I mean, I really couldn't even count how many times I've been pleasantly surprised by something that is better than I'd hoped, and I usually have very high expectations about things that I from people that I instantly fall in love with them because of something they've done. I think the whole issue, New Avengers issue 22 by Lineal's first issue in Avengers,
mm-hmm.
Every page I had that feeling.
Since MA is dating Miles Warren, can we expect to see Ultimate Jackal anytime soon?
Yeah, think.
Will we ever see more of the Sentry's
arch? Am I telegraphing that one down the street too much?
Will we ever see more of the Sentry's arch nemesis, General, who was shown briefly in New Avengers 19? He erased the memory of the Sentry, so I think that this guy has another thing coming.
Yeah, I think we'll see him. Not this year, but yeah.
In Powers 22, a Newsarama interview about the Illuminati miniseries was reprinted in the letter column. In this interview, you stated that issues 4 and 5 would take place after the Civil War.
Yeah.
Well, in issue 4, Iron Man and Doctor Strange are friendly towards each other, and they don't act like they've been on the opposite sides anymore. So does that mean that the issue doesn't take place before Civil War after all?
No, that's exactly true. The ending of the Illuminati miniseries changed dramatically because Jimmy, not known for his quickness to start with, it slowed down dramatically to work on his craft, and in doing so gave us an opportunity to align up the end of the Illuminati miniseries to go much closer to the Skrull event itself. And so I junked a couple of ideas that I'll do later on to get right to the Skrull stuff, which I was going to do in another series or special. So that's why it's a little different than what I said it was going to be.
Speaking of the Illuminati, did issue 3 take place during Secret Wars 2 or after? I recall that the Inhumans had their base on the moon in that issue, and I didn't think they moved there until a few years ago after Paul Jenkins' Marvel Knights mini. I could be wrong.
It is up to you to decide if it's happening during Secret Wars 2, if it is Secret Wars 2, or if it happened right after Secret Wars 1. I kind of leave it up to the reader, so no retcon can be put heavily on my shoulders. I have a theory about when it takes place, but it retcons a lot of stuff, so I'm not going to do it.
he wants to thank.
In my head, I retconned the shit out of that thing.
Well, he's got a few more questions.
But Secret Wars 2 is the worst comic book ever written.
Let's see.
Favorite movie of 2007.
Yes.
I guess it's No Country for Old Men. Guess we agree on that, right?
Yeah, yeah. That just blew me away. Really did.
All right.
In another podcast, you mentioned you enjoyed the Miami Vice movie, but that they should have called it something else. Why is that?
I just thought it was so far off the
original
source material that they actually probably did themselves a disservice as far as marketing it went. If it was that exact cop movie starring Jamie Foxx and
Colin Farrell,
the other dude.
Colin Farrell.
Whose career was clearly killed by that movie.
I was going to say, did you see the trailer? He's got a new movie with Brendan Gleeson coming out that looks really good.
Oh, it looks good. He's also got a Woody Allen movie coming out.
I've seen the trailer for that as well, yeah.
But that and also say I saw his cock on the internet. Fucking some Playboy Playmate that leaked it to the internet.
Ew. I don't need to see his cock, but that's
no, it is an ew. It's an ew clip, and people have probably seen it. They're laughing because I'm saying this, but he's got a huge cock. But it's like really, really white. Like it's like something's wrong with it white.
Ew.
Like
oh.
It looks like it's made out of plastic.
Like the pigmentation is gone from his cock?
The movie was made while he's filming Daredevil, so he's got the fucking bull by head. So it's really creepy.
Ew. Yikes. That's lovely. There you go. Well, I think we need to see that version of Bullseye in the next Max Daredevil comic from you. Yikes.
Oh, there you go. So I've seen his cock. But anyway.
Excellent. Good for you.
Yes. The point is that I think that if they would have called it something else, they would probably had a better response to it because people didn't necessarily remember Miami Vice fondly and then didn't go see this very good crime movie. It was a good crime movie.
That's good because actually I didn't want to see it because it looked kind of cheeseball-y.
It's not cheeseball at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's very... it demands a lot of its audience. It's very quiet. It's very it's very serious. And people just remember the suits and shit and probably just said, I'll see it on cable. And then they see it on cable and go, wow, this is darker. It's like if you want to see Miami Vice, this is a letdown. And if you didn't want to see Miami Vice, well, it's a bummer. You're not going to see something cool.
DJ 127, when is the new Avengers versus the Thunderbolts happening?
Sooner than you think.
Oh, cool. John C., not from Cincinnati. Hi there, Brian and John. Always a pleasure. This was a while ago, but what was your reaction when you found out Jendi Tartakovsky was going to be working on Luke Cage?
I was very excited. I'm a big fan of his. I got all the shit on DVD, so I was a big fan.
When is that going to be? I had no idea.
I don't know. I saw it on the first day of the retreat, as we sit us in a room and they show us slides of everything that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there was a date on it, but it is coming.
That's cool. Did you find working on the Halo Mini enjoyable, and would you like to do more in that universe if you can?
I liked working on the comic. I have found the approval process what's the word, maddening. So hence, that's why the book isn't shipped yet. Literally, when I get the pages back, I'm not going to remember writing them. So I'm excited for the book to come out. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And I did have fun working on it, but this editorial process has been something else.
I understand.
Don't let that take away from your enjoyment of it as it ships, because it really is nice.
Very cool. Are you caught up on Heroes and Battlestar Galactica? And what do you think on how they're
caught up on Heroes. I am caught up on Battlestar Galactica.
And you said you liked Razor.
Yes, yeah.
Razor was awesome, yeah. Did you get the DVD?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I really think the stuff from the first Cylon War with young Villadama was...
Oh, is that in the movie that didn't show us on TV?
Yeah, it's in. They made webisodes of it, and there was a little bit of it in the movie that was shown on Sci-Fi Channel, but the DVD has the whole thing.
Well, I'll have to check that out. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's like, actually...
I haven't cracked it open yet.
Yeah, it's like a nice half-hour episode, really. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty good. Sinestro Corps War? Have you been reading it, and what are your thoughts, if you have?
Haven't read them yet.
I thought it was excellent, and looking forward to...
Yeah, I heard it was good, and we'll get to it.
Looking forward to Volume 3. I'm reading
Nick Hornsby's book right now.
Very cool. At the present moment in time, how do you have New and Mighty Avengers plotted out? How far out? We've asked this before.
Well into 2010, from the look of the schedule that they showed me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. He'd just like to say that he's really been enjoying everything that you've been putting out, and he's really excited to see what will be happening in Secret Invasion. Mm-hmm. As always, a pint of the black stuff is waiting for you and John.
He's going to see new Captain America and Thor pick a team to join. Maybe.
Wow. Oh, there you go. Yeah, excuse me.
That's a good one, yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to just skip it.
I did, because, yeah, I figured it was all black baggy stuff that we already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool. So thank you very much, John C. from Belfast. York Brown.
Yes.
Bendis, we're expected to believe that you've been planning this Skrull thing, Secret Invasion, for 4 or 5 years now, but come on, be straight with us. You and Joe Q came up with this over a joint at the last Marvel retreat, didn't you? They didn't know, we just thought of this. Smoke
we
the internet in half.
We don't smoke joints. We're both the father of little daughters. You don't smoke joints with your daughters.
You take amphetamines.
We're whacked out on crystal meth.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
What we did then was, meth.
No.
But... this was part of my initial Avengers pitch. It is true. I don't fib. Have you heard that? Did you hear me about walking up and down the street with Chick-fil-A in New York City?
And the
I don't tell lies.
And the proof is in that Avengers disassembled.
And then I saw Colin Farrell's cock. These are not things people say who lie.
How about the Powers hardcover volume 3?
Next year.
Okay.
Let's work on 2 first.
There you go. Dave Cummings. If given the chance, would you ever work with someone like Joe Madureira or Travis Charest?
Travis in a second. Joe with another colorist.
Yeah.
I saw those pencils, man. They were something.
Yeah, but some... No, I understand. Would you like to work with Steve McNiven again?
Will and am.
Cool. What are your favorite DC and favorite indie book at the moment?
I'm not pausing for any good reason. Can't think. I'm going to have to get up and look to see what I've read.
Okay.
You know what? I'll tell you. It's not DC or indie. Best thing I read comic book-wise this month was Escapist by Brian K. Vaughan. I absolutely loved it. I did not get to read it in single issues just because I think I missed issue 2 or something. So I'm reading the hardback, and I just adored it.
That whole series was excellent.
And
Vaughn's arc was great, too.
Thrilled to be included in his love letter to the city that I grew up in, and I got all his references, and really, really great comic.
What movies in the next year are you looking forward to?
The next year, well, I'm looking forward to the Scorsese Rolling Stones documentary.
Me too, yeah.
Which I heard from someone who's seen it that it's amazing.
Cool.
And I'm looking forward to Indiana Jones, because I'm a big nerd.
Because you're a big Shia LaBeouf fan.
And I love the LaBeouf. And I am looking forward to Iron Man. Gotta say.
Yeah, me too.
Gotta say, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm with you. Tom Daylight, do you have a close in mind for your run on New Avengers, like you did on Alias and Daredevil, or do you think you can go on and on?
No, I'm good right now. I don't have an end right now.
I thought Waha was a great read and very funny, especially stuff by that new guy. don't know which new guy that would be. Would you ever do it?
He actually won a contest where he got his joke in the Waha special. So he's
He's
promoting himself is what he's doing.
Would you ever do anything like that again, or a more story-based humor book?
I would. The humor books do not sell. Every year someone gets a shot. Last year it was this guy. His shot the year before it was me. And I thought Waha was going to – I literally thought that was a shoo-in for a top 10 book. And I never think that about anything. I thought this is me and Millar and Brian K. Vaughan and Szczesinski. I thought it was a done deal. I thought everyone missed the humor issues as much as I did, and I was wrong.
Well, and I also think
it did a tank, but I actually thought it was going to be a big deal, and it wasn't.
Well, I think it lost some of its buzz when it just continued to be late, and we know the reasons why it was late.
Problems. That's
yeah,
right.
No, I understand. But also,
the orders were what the orders were. I mean,
yeah,
it's only 30. That's what it's old.
Okay.
Which again. Boo-hoo, I know, but I actually was really proud of it and wanted people to see it.
Sure. But that's not going to stop you from doing Fortune and Glory Part 2.
No, and it wouldn't stop me from doing Waha 2. I would do it in 2 seconds. It's just hard to get Marvel to write the check when...
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But will you still do Fortune and Glory, though, when one of these...
Yeah, when the material is writing itself as we go, but I'll know when it's time to write that.
Okay.
There hasn't been a sufficient third act yet.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I kind of figured that's what you're waiting for.
Act, though.
All right, good
killer.
Deal.
I got stuff no one knows about, like great stuff.
Do you find it hard to get the right balance on how much you leave for the reader to get themselves versus how much you tell them outright? Like if you had a massive genetics conspiracy, do you feel you should have left Dr. Exposition there explaining the plot details?
No, I really despise Dr. Exposition, and as I get older, I despise it even more. Like I even sometimes did it as a cheeky gag, and I wouldn't even do it as a gag anymore because I just think it has to be stopped. The madness has to end. I wrestle with this. Every once in a while I do a story where I let it be interpreted. In fact. I had a big argument. We were talking about at the retreat. They were talking about the issue with Wanda and Hawkeye of New Avengers, where a lot was left up to the reader's interpretation, and half the room got it exactly as I thought they would, and Joe had no idea I was going for any of it. So
wow.
I didn't mind it. Like I don't care what you got out of it. There's a point, and it's hard. It's hard to describe it. You get to a point where I really don't care. Interpret it any way you want, but and other times where I want you to know exactly what I'm thinking, and I don't know exactly what it is that instigates one or the other, but it does.
So it's a struggle.
So you just got to, and I haven't got it always got it the right way. And I mean, even doing that in New Avengers, I thought was quite of a. Bit of a dare because you know the Avengers are known for their interpretive dance. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, you'll know it when you know it.
David Price, formerly of the Bullpen Bulletins podcast. David Price.
Oh, okay, did not know that.
Thanks tons for doing this. Will the new Captain America appear in Mighty or New Avengers as a member of the team? Possibly.
He will appear in something. Secret Invasion.
All right. If Brubaker hadn't killed Steve Rogers, how different would your adventure stories be? That's a good question.
It would be one cap heavier.
No, like, any comments on what you would have been doing with Cap in the stories had he not been killed?
I would have enjoyed on a lot. I'm not mad about it or anything. I don't want to sound like I'm pouting about it because I don't think about it at all. But I would have enjoyed writing Cap post-Civil War. I would have enjoyed that a lot. Loser Cap's a lot of fun. That's
right.
Cap running through Harlem with Harlem burning. That's the Cap I like.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I would have enjoyed that, but I am enjoying the dynamic of the ghost of Cap as well. So, I'm good either way, but I would have enjoyed that.
The plans Ed have for the new Captain America, did you see them coming and thought to yourself, that makes sense? Or did the reveal blow your mind? This is assuming that you know who the new Captain America is.
Oh, I know all of it. I know everything, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's I don't want to take away from anything else Ed is doing in the Marvel Universe, because he's doing some really amazing stuff.
You
bet. But when they close the curtain on this decade of comics and all of us are given that that's the thing that they're known for, Cap's going to be it for Ed.
I can see that, yeah.
I know Ed's doing great work on Daredevil, but he is going to be to Cap what Frank Miller was to Daredevil. You know what I mean?
I do. No, I clearly do.
Cap's going to be what he's remembered for.
No, I can understand that, and yeah.
As I'm remembered for Geldof.
Finally, I was talking to Pat Loika, and we were going through your Avengers stories. Going back to Disassembled, I was unsure of the owners of the lips at the end of 500. Are they Wanda's kids? I think we left it as agreeing that that's who they belong to.
Yeah, no, they were their kids. I didn't mean to make it one of those moments where I leave it up to interpretation.
Okay.
It's the kids. At one point, it really is Wanda talking because her kids don't exist, kind of thing.
Okay.
So that might be a little confusion. That might have been a little bit much for me, but that's what it is. It's Wanda, and her kids don't really exist, so it's all her, you know, the mother from Psycho, her too.
Brian H., what's your favorite Marvel book you're not writing and favorite non-Marvel book right now?
Iron Fist is probably my favorite Marvel book I'm not writing.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that.
I like the writer that, you know, comes out between Fraction and Brubaker, too, because it is a slightly different voice for both of them. Their collaboration together.
Okay. I can see that. No, I know who's writing most of it, so...
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, then. Never you might. Well, maybe that's just me being dazzled by the art and not realizing
it. Yeah, it really is a great book, and it is really both of them. I'm just joking around.
You mentioned...
See, every time I say Fell, everyone just sneers at me. Fell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you ever work with Tony Harris? He's Neato.
Yeah, he is Neato. I probably wouldn't, just because I've known Tony for a long time. I'm not under the impression we make a good collaboration, but I buy anything his name's on.
Cool. We move on to Sentry. Venice, any big plans for the Sentry and upcoming arcs, such as Secret Invasions or Avengers titles?
He wrote this before Mighty Avengers 6 came out. And
clearly.
Sentry went to crazy, and the wife's dead, and she's alive. There's a lot going on with Sentry.
Very cool. Yes, indeed. As Secret War led into Secret Invasion and as Avengers Disassembled led into House of M, is Secret Invasion going to set the stage for another story, or is it a definite end that changes the landscape? Now, don't get snarky like you did before.
No, I actually think it's the exclamation point. I do. I mean, we just came out of the retreat, and there's definitely stuff coming out of it that will change the landscape.
Okay.
But it's not like a landscape to another event. It's
okay.
At least for me, I mean, someone might come up with something.
Any Marvel characters you want to have on the Avengers that you haven't been able to incorporate?
Well, Cap's dead.
Right.
Yeah,
has there been anybody where editorial has said no? Like Moon Knight, we got to let Moon Knight kind of be his own guy before we can put him in or whatever?
No, Moon Knight wouldn't be a good... I mean, maybe someone else might have a good take on that, but it doesn't feel right to me.
Okay.
No, I'm pretty good.
All right.
I'm good.
I know you've hidden hints and such in your books about the Secret Invasion, but have other writers done so in their books?
Dan picked it up really early.
Slot.
I know he grabbed onto it.
Okay, and, well, he says besides the Avengers Initiative, obviously.
There's a couple I'm not supposed to say yet.
All right. What'd you think of...
I don't want to ruin their books by people going, oh, wait, should I look for Skrulls there? I don't think they want to do that yet.
What did you think about the conclusion of World War Hulk?
I liked it. You know, it's one of those stories. I knew everything about that thing so many months before it even came out that it was the actual reading of it was, you know, it was kind of ruined for me because I see the Civil War. Like, I knew every single fucking teeny thing that went in before it shipped.
I understand. Here's D from Jamaican Plains. Will the reemergence of Captain Marvel have an effect on Secret Invasion? Will we get some
Kree?
Will we get some Krees with our Skrulls?
Hell yeah.
Cool. Honestly, I think Brian's doing a great job on that solo.
No, he did. He did a really great job and really good artwork, too.
You bet. Red X123, is Nick Fury the one person you can trust in Secret Invasion?
You can't trust anybody in Secret Invasion.
Interesting.
Certainly not me.
Hey, look who's back. It's the dyslexic.
By the way, the funny joke that I was dying to do that I'll never get to do, so I'm just going to tell it right here. The Nick Fury returns. This big moment. He comes back, and they all look at him and go, the iPad's on the wrong eye. And he goes, shit, and he runs away. We're taking a moment.
Feel free.
My page to load very slowly. I don't know why it's loading so slowly.
No worries.
Secret invasion notes from Joe. Not the right thing. Oh, here's the lettered version of Ultimate Spider-Man 118. Can I want to put out a plug while we're waiting?
Feel free.
I'm not one to ever do this, but anybody who's digging my stuff, whether you're reading Ultimate Spider-Man regularly or not, pick up 118. I can't say why, but this issue came out particularly well. It's I don't know. It's just an issue where Stuart just really found it, and it just came out really, really well. So pick it up. It's the first Amazing Friends issue.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly why, but I got shit. Hold on a second.
Sure.
I got the same feeling when I read like New Avengers 22 with Luke Cage or something. Where I was like, wow, that came out much better than I thought it was gonna.
That's cool.
Yeah, like you hope everything comes out this good. So.
Is the almost weekly schedule of Amazing Spider-Man going to affect the way you write him in Avengers?
Yes, but I can't say how.
Okay.
Because I don't want to say anything about it. But I've actually read the Amazing Spider-Man. I've enjoyed the Amazing Spider-Man. And Spider-Man will be an Avenger.
Okay. Any chance of getting a letter column in one or both of the Avenger books in the near future?
Yeah, dude, I wanted one every single time. It is almost near impossible to get a letter column in that book. Either I ate the page with art, which I do a lot,
mm-hmm.
or the schedule's just so tight, like on the Cho issues, and they got to ship them. Second he hands in that last page, he has to go to the press. So there just hasn't been any time. But that's what message boards are for. You need a question right here.
If you had the time to write the occasional short story for Marvel Comics Presents, who would be the stars of your stories?
I actually offered them to, they wanted to redo Daredevil Ninja, as it was written the first time in Marvel Comics Presents. They passed. So, I will now shun them.
Who makes better potato latkes, Jarvis or Wong?
Oh, Jarvis.
Is Jarvis Jewish?
Wong doesn't know shit about potato latkes. And that's not an ethnic thing. He just doesn't know anything about it.
Steven, I can't understand this recipe.
Uh-huh.
Did you buy the gear? Simpson, in the Powers arc sellouts, it seems that every member of the Unity team is an analog for a comic creator. Nucleus is obviously John Byrne.
Obviously. Yeah.
And Red Hawk is Todd McFarlane. So what protege kissed Todd leading him to beat the shit out of him? Is Dragon Fist Denny O'Neill? Who were the rest of the Unity team stand-ins for?
The Unity team was not stand-in for comic book creators.
That's hilarious.
The fact that, no, Todd McFarlane never peed on anybody, it shows you that they are not really that.
He never peed on anybody.
He's mistaken because there was a character, and I think it was Nucleus. No, it wasn't Nucleus. It was Dragon Fist. Dragon Fist was at a convention. Is that a Heroes convention?
Okay.
Like a has-been convention?
Yeah, I remember the story, but go ahead.
And I had him, and I had referenced some things that I had witnessed John Byrne doing at conventions, like his list of rules and things that he has, that I gave to Dragon Fist.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't even getting the right hero. So that was really the only references to anything comic book creator thing that I did. It wasn't just comic creator. I've witnessed a joyous amount of poorly behaving as semi-professional actors, actresses, media stars at these conventions, and I was just referencing that in particular. The only thing I took from the Byrne thing was his list of rules that he used to put up. I don't know if he does it anymore, but he used to have a list of rules.
Yes, I remember.
What pens he will use, he will not shake your hand, that kind of stuff that I thought was hilarious and worth commenting on.
But
no, it was not. It was not all comic book people.
Most
stuff in Powers is directly related to famous stories about rock stars. Hence the Red Hawk is peeing on someone. Is that shocking video of R. Kelly peeing on that girl and he never went to jail for it? And I've seen that video, and it is kind of startling and awful and just probably the worst thing I've ever seen one human being do to another.
Ew.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
It's as repulsive as you can imagine.
Yeah.
A grown man peeing on an underage child.
Yeah.
Oh. It is vulgar. And the fact that this guy's being able to dodge jail time.
Well, yeah, it's bad enough when consulting adults pee on each other. But, yeah, when it's a little girl, that is even worse.
Yeah, it's revolting.
Oh, dude, I've seen him sing the Star Spangled Banner at a boxing match and get booed. I mean, it's in Chicago where he still has plenty of support, which is creepy in its own way.
I was more referencing that than I was anything else.
That's funny
that you thought it was Todd. That's funny, but no, I didn't even mean that subconsciously, no.
The Illuminati miniseries is the best stuff I've read all year. No hyperbole.
Well, thank you. It is hyperbole, but thank you.
In issue 3, where you're writing of the Beyonder, the creator and destroyer of the Marvel Universe, were you writing him as an unconscious, idealized version of yourself? In other words, do you envision yourself...
This guy's got all kinds of subtext in his head.
Do you envision yourself as a demigod with a head full of Jerry Curl tipping out of, in a white jumpsuit?
Well, sure, the Jerry Curl, absolutely. Well, I've said other places, and I really mean it. I don't think Brian and I got nearly enough credit for keeping the Jerry Curl in the suit. In this day and age, 2000, whatever year it is.
It's 7.
We kept the Jerry Curl. There should be a special, like, Wizard Award for that. That was ballsy, man.
Where do you stand on the issue of file sharing? Are you on the side of the suits or Trent Reznor? Have you ever taken part in file sharing?
That's the only side you can take?
I guess. Those are the only two. Do you think that torrent sites like Zcult FM encourage readership growth and bring new readers into the fold, or is it detrimental to the industry?
The only thing that drives me nuts about this is these guys, I saw this on Newsarama more than I saw it on my board, is anytime this subject comes up and some guy starts screaming that he's decided it's all right to download, it's not stealing because he's decided it isn't stealing.
Uh-huh.
Listen, do it, don't do it, it's stealing. Don't tell me you're doing me a favor, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. I've put a generous amount of my material online, and Powers being the biggest one, because I absolutely believe that it is a great tool to generate interest in your book and sales in your book. And I know for a fact, as I said earlier in the podcast that probably ran 3 weeks ago, that I have felt the sales of Powers trades go up because of the Powers Daily Strip that's online. So I'm a big believer in it, and because when you feel that your material is that strong that you could give some of it away, that they'll actually buy it if they saw it, then you should, as we talked about movies earlier and stuff too, right?
Right.
So I'm a big believer in putting it online. That said, the douchebag who goes and scans in every page of New Avengers and 6,000 people download it, listen, it's a douchey thing to do. What am I going to do? I've seen it. I see it on the Mini Nova. It tells you how many people downloaded it. It's thousands and thousands of people. So the only thing, and I go fine, because you know what? Honestly, if you asked me for a free copy, I would give you a free copy. So I'm not, what am I going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
But I'll tell you the one thing that drives me nuts is, A, the people who think that it's okay, when they know really it's not okay. It's not okay. Just do it. Don't do it. I don't care. But B, I don't want to hear a review. I don't want to hear my thoughts. It's worse than the I flipped through it at the store and I'm going to post about it 80 times. You do not get to review it. The end.
In a perfect world.
No one cares what you think.
Evan Wiener. Wishing you a happy Hanukkah.
Same to you.
And thank you. And I'm starting
off
with
Valentine's Day.
I'm starting off with a weighty question. Do you think that art is better in difficult times for either the artist or the world at large? Wow, this is a good essay question. Mm. I think I heard Mark Miller talk before about...
Yeah, I think we're writing his essay is what we're doing here. We're going, yeah.
I think I heard Mark Miller talk before about how troubled times produce better stories, better artists, better film. Does a creative pro do their best work when they're struggling professionally, just getting their feet off the ground and broke with nothing to lose, willing to take more chances, or has more to say?
I do feel like we're writing his term paper, but that's a couple of different questions. It seems that when the world's in trouble, people go to the movies more and buy comics more. Like, sales go up
when
there's trouble.
Sure.
Like, when there's a recession, sales on entertainment goes up. And that's always fascinating. Like, when people don't have as much money, they spend it more on making themselves happy. So that's interesting. And that's, like, proven economic stuff.
Right.
And we've gotten a taste of it a couple times the last 10 years that was very apparent. Whether better art is created, that's an iffy situation because there's always art, great art being created.
Yes.
And what you get in hard times is a voice rises up and says something profound. But a lot of times you also get a lot of people pontificating and sounding like Lulu Sobieski doing her 9/11 poems on The Tonight Show and just embarrassing the shit out of themselves and the human race. So it depends. There's no generality here that is proven truth. People are always making great art and people are always making shitty art. 95% of it is shit all the time, no matter what, and it doesn't matter why. It just that's the way it is.
Yep.
So there you go. And as far as people doing better work when they're struggling, I don't think that's true either, but that's a generality too. I've seen just as many people sell their shit out quick for nothing when they're struggling than take a chance with nothing to lose. And I have friends that have done both. And I also have friends that have done both and when they were successful, completely start, toeing the line. Or people who seem quite fearless and realize that now is when you take the chances. Now you get the audience. Go crazy, right? And that's why I don't think I've been given enough credit for using the jerry curl on the Beyonder in the issue of Illuminati. I'm telling you, none of my cool peers would have done that. No. Strom doing that? No. Mr. Cool.
Do you have any desire to really push some progressive storytelling techniques in your comics? You've played a bit with panel and page construction, framing a panel, white space, in your Jinx World comics, and I'm wondering if experimental storytelling is too hard to fit into mainstream comics you write. Is there a bigger focus on straight-up storytelling on your mainstream titles to prevent scaring away too many casual readers?
No, I think about this all the time. It's, first of all, I think some of the artists I work with are very experimental and eager to try new things, and I write for them when they do it. While others, it's just inappropriate use of storytelling. And really, what I think about, even on some of like Jinx and Torso, there'd be little bits there where, looking back on it, I was being clever to be clever, and I wasn't necessarily enhancing the storytelling process. I was just showing off a little bit. And if I did it again, I would have settled down a little bit and hit the emotional beat of the story, which is a lot harder to do and a lot more daring in some places. Like, it's a lot harder to show your ass than mix the panels around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tend to lean towards that if I can. But on the other hand, I'm a big fan of negative and positive space, and when I'm doing my own drawing or laying out my own pages, and I do lay that out for people if they choose to go that direction. But what I've learned is not to push the artist's design sense into your own, because sometimes it just really doesn't work. You're forcing people to do things they don't want to do, and you're holding them back more than you're helping them. So. That's my feeling. And there's a lot more ways to be experimental or forward-thinking in your storytelling than panel design. There's a lot of other things that can be done, and we do them all the time, I think, or at least we try.
it seems like many Marvel creators...
You notice how serious I got? Because that's a serious question.
You took him seriously.
He's think got about some, it all the time.
Well, there's more essays to come. It seems like many Marvel creators are thrilled working there right now, although I'm sure there are a few exceptions of people not getting the amount of work that, or attention others are.
Sure.
Why do you think it is? Is it that editorial is being less restrictive than in the past? The X-Books in the 90s, for instance, felt like the editors were making more story decisions than writers were. I'm sure you guys aren't getting the carte blanche, everything goes treatment.
No, absolutely not.
But it seems like all creative decisions come from creators and are tweaked by editorial to fit in with other books, stories, schedules, or general story improvements.
It does seem that people seem happier. I think it comes from there's a genuine amount of respect in the room. Like I goofed around about Loeb last week, but even that was a very respectful situation. Even having the retreats is so respectful. You know what I mean? Or including the creators in the retreats. It just, everything about it is Joe as a comic artist treating people the way he'd want to be treated. But on the other hand, he certainly doesn't let us do whatever the hell we want. In fact, I spent the whole week arguing with him this week. Not bitchy arguing, you know, like two, you know, people who give a shit. Trying to get through, you know, with different opinions on a story. So, I even when it's at its headiest, you got to go, boy, thank God he's not some guy just kissing my ass. You know, I don't need a guy to kiss my ass. I got my mom. I got, you know what I mean?
Right,
I got people to tell me how great I am. I don't need that from my boss or my editors. You need people who are going to help you not embarrass yourself and be honest with you. So I think most of us really do appreciate it. Listen, every day there's some guy, oh, I didn't get my porridge. I wanted more porridge. You know, but,
sure.
You know, I don't know why there's a porridge metaphor, but still, you get my point.
Oliver Twist.
But, yeah, it does seem overall everyone seems genuinely happy. And most of us are Marvel kids, and we're blown out of our minds we're there. I can't believe it. I emailed Stan Lee today.
Really? How's he doing?
He is actually doing great. He's just the sweetest guy.
And he celebrated a birthday this week.
He wrote me such a nice note on my birthday that I felt I must write him a note expressing myself, which I sometimes don't do because I figure he hears it all the time, but I did it this time, and he wrote back something even sweeter. He always tops you. He writes back something sweeter than you could possibly imagine.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I'll be printing them all in Power, like a douchebag.
Were the retreats held before Bill and Joe's era, or
I think there was some sort of them, or there were mini ones. Like I hear stories like there were X-Men ones.
Sure, because I know DC did that with like the Bat books and the Superman books as well.
Yeah, I know they were invented.
No, I understand.
The form that they've taken was certainly a Bill and Joe thing.
Okay.
They certainly have kept the same form from the Bill and Joe Dan book. They saw that they work. A lot comes out of them.
What do you think of webcomics and how the big publishers are trying to get involved? Scott Kurtz has been very vocal on what he thinks of Zuda Comics being a contest and the whole issue of working on spec. I think the web is a great place for individual creators and self-publishers to distribute work that gets overlooked by bigger publishers and allows a creator to retain rights to their work without getting overwhelmed or taken advantage of by a publisher. However, I'm not sold on the idea of online distribution becoming bigger and more successful than print for the bigger publishers. It seems like, for now, it does a good job of supporting the print business. Free issues like DC does with Vertigo's number ones or Marvel's new online subscription model. But until the portable wireless comic reader screen is invented and cheap enough to sell to consumers, digital comics are going to be a hard sell. Then again, digital TV and film distribution is causing a lot of chaos in Hollywood right now.
Now we're reading his essay.
Yes, I am.
Well, listen, I'll put it out there. This is my call to arms. If I was an up-and-comer, and I was an up-and-comer, if the caliber Brian had access to the internet and what it was available now, you damn well better be making webcomics, man. You have no excuse not to be producing work if you want to be a comic book artist. You don't even have, you don't even need a printer. You can just put it online. Put it online. Work every day. Put it online. You know, it'll be interesting to see if someone can create the great graphic novel online, if that could be produced. I don't know.
Well, and just as online novelists have been getting book deals by doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. People always come up with excuses not to do their work.
Sure.
You know? But now there's none. There's no excuse. It used to be all you needed was the Kinko's. Now you don't even need the Kinko's.
Dude, I can't, you know, I have trouble convincing people to give me longer talk shows, and that's why I do the podcast, and it's no different for webcomics. I completely agree.
Absolutely. You make your own way in the world, and that's what the studios are finding out right now with the writer's strike, with it really hurting themselves because people are now being reminded that they don't need to watch TV to be entertained by themselves. So there's tons of stuff out there to watch and do, and they can make their own shit. They don't even have to watch anything.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, and as far as the digital comic versus the real comic, I don't think print medium is going to go away right now, but it's pretty soon. And I don't mean to startle people, but I mean, even the creator-owned stuff that we're working on right now, whether it will be released digitally first or digitally at the same time or as a digital product, is a genuine conversation that's happening. It's coming fast.
Yeah, it's entering the arena.
Yeah, if I mean, you guys, you know, iPod is only a couple of years ago. These things roll quickly.
Did you I don't know if this question came up or not in the thread yet, but or will come up. But have you gotten the Amazon Reader? I forget what it's called, the Krendel or whatever the hell it is.
The what?
What's it called? The Amazon Reader, the Amazon Digital Reader. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know.
Really? The you know, Amazon this Christmas season was selling that $300 digital reading device.
Oh, no, I don't even know about this.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, my God, I'm shocked. Because they sold, and they sold out of it pretty fast, too. I mean, it, you know, they only, you know, made so many thousand. And in fact,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's becoming next Christmas. And it could be very well before my Marvel contract is up. I'm serious. That digital comics are the concern. No one wants to hear it, but it's true. I mean, most of the people I know in the print media said 7 years, it's over.
Wow.
For print.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how things...
That's a sincere thing that's been put out there. And when I say it, people go, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, yeah, look what's happening, man. They're going to show you a Wii that has books in it. A book Wii.
Right, exactly. Well, and the other thing they have to do then is, as opposed to having the heft of an actual book, they're going to have to figure out a price point. Because I know that's one thing that people say, yeah, I've got the digital copy of this novel, but it's the same price as the physical book, and I've got an issue with that.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, I told you that the studios send out these, you know, the DVD screeners, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Guess what else they sent? I never even told you. They sent you a flash drive with all the screenplays for the year.
Wow.
Warner Brothers sent a little tiny drive that can put right in my computer. It had 85 screenplays on it.
Like
wow. Tons of screenplays on it.
That's...
Like Clayton, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and I showed it to my wife. I go, hey, look, it's a book. I mean,
yeah.
So plug this into something, and now I'm reading.
Yep.
The end.
No, I'm with it. Finally, he wants to know what you got for Hanukkah and Christmas, or Christmas.
What did I get for Hanukkah and Christmas? I got a Wii for
cool.
Both for me and my daughter. So it was like a
family card. Gift.
Yeah, I'm hard to shop for. I tend to buy whatever I want the second it comes out.
Yeah,
so I'm very difficult to shop for. My wife got me some nice stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I got
lovely sweaters and things, you know.
So very.
I got
cool.
a lot of gift cards.
Oh, that's good. Well.
Yeah, you go buy it yourself. I don't know what the fuck you. If people come to see the DVD wall, they're not even gonna try.
I didn't know Powell's made gift cards.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah, of course. They use online service.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's true. Captain Hunter.
Yeah.
He thanks us for the podcast and says, will there be a lot of titles crossing over with Secret Invasion? Will it be a Civil War level event, a World War Hulk level, which he thinks is around 40%, or somewhere in between?
Or 40s. That was a big concern of the retreat as well. That was brought up for a couple of hours. I don't mind the amount as long as they're all legitimate, like, concerns that elevate the storyline, that have unique things to say. And I was able to focus it on that. And so everything that will ship, I think it's kind of in the middle. But really, to be fair, I'm writing 18 of them.
Wow.
Because, well, New Avengers and Mighty Avengers, coming out monthly. Well, you know, that's 16 right there.
Okay.
So, so it's in between the two. So.
Do you guys judge after
but nothing, you know what? It's nothing gratuitous as far as story. And that I'm thrilled about. Everything's got a unique spin.
It
isn't going to be a scroll reveal of a month. It's not going to be the same joke told every day.
Okay.
That was a big concern of mine and Joe's, that it, you know, that's what everyone wants to do. They want to go, ha ha, scroll on every issue. And then you're like, who gives a shit by June, you know? so we got it to a good place.
Do you guys review in the retreats then and say specific, you know, getting that down to the nitty gritty in terms of these crossovers worked for Civil War, these ones didn't, same thing with World War Hulk, whatever?
Well, yeah, there's a tendency. They pretty much, yeah.
Monday morning quarterbacking, basically.
Well, we're all, this is back to where that thing, we're all comic book fans. Like, we all buy the comics, so we know what's bullshit and not. I mean, no one wants to sell it on purpose, so we all fight the good fight. And you know, Civil War is a little different, because Civil War, there was gaps in scheduling. Where,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So a different kind of story ended up being told in the middle there, too. So some of it ended up being great, you know. Some of it was like, you know, and the concession wasn't planned, and that I'm really proud of. So
yeah,
you get stuff like that. But in this instance, when I'd put it together, I sent out a, knowing that there would be tie-in issues, I sent out a bunch of, like, ideas for things. Like, here's a good tie-in, here's a good tie-in, here's something that FF would be doing, here's something Spider-Man would be doing. And if they want to do it, they can do it. You know what I mean? But
I
thought if I guide it in certain directions, it would help out. And Mark did the same thing when he was doing Civil War, that it just it helps it along a certain road. And so we just went over that, and they're picking creator teams now.
Icarus is back. So Ultimate Doc Ock is kind of like Magneto.
No.
Only Magneto can't be beaten by Spidey and Kitty Pryde, and Doc Ock can. What's the deal?
No.
I know that he's weaker than Magneto, but what's the extent of his powers?
He's controlling metal. He's not controlling magnetic fields. Completely different power set, nerd.
Here, with all the remakes of film and TV series going on, which franchise should be next? Is the world ready for Jude Law in a new version of the Sweeney? Have you seen? Is that really happening?
No.
Okay.
He's imagining this.
Okay, because Corin, if you don't, and I'm sure you already know Corin, Life on Mars takes care of any new version of the Sweeney. That great.
Life on Mars kills me. I had that pitch in the Marvel.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
That pitch in the Marvel. You want to have a comic thing? Someone asked me like three podcasts ago.
Yes.
About a comic idea I can't do now, but before Life on Mars hit, I had a pitch about. I think I pitched it as Quasar just for. I thought that was a character that would work.
Yeah, I remember saying that. Yeah.
Shot back to 70s Marvel, and he just can't get back. And Reed Richards is trying to help him, so he has to like reinvent himself in the 70s Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But with the knowledge of everything that's going to happen, all these characters, and that was I was going to do with that. And then Life on Mars was literally like the next day was announced, and I was like, oh, no, I can't do it now. And everyone thinks I just ripped it off, but I really didn't. Quasar.
Very cool.
And to prove all my friends right that I never let anything go, that will end up being somewhere.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Well, it's over now. You know, I was wondering whatever happened to that.
Yeah, American. But still people know what it is.
Well, yeah. Hey, I got an email from Loeb. Hold on. I want to see if he if he acknowledges it.
Did you point it out to him?
No, and I wanted to. So, yeah, I'm glad he wrote. So I'm listening with great lead to the Bendis tapes tonight and figured, okay, if he gets to do that, we need a Loeb report or a Loeb retort where I get asked all those stupid questions he answers, like what kind of mechanical pencil he sticks up his nose. Seriously, I can't have that schmo going on the radio talking about nobody raises their voice in his house. I have a wife that loves me and a five-year-old daughter. What? And I somehow ruined his Christmas party. Oh, God. So the risk of turning...
You've got to keep that in the podcast, too. That's
fine. Absolutely. He's the man. He knows you. You know, he's having fun. So at the risk of turning this into Peter David loves Peter David, how about we match airtime between what he's doing and what I'm doing? I have no idea how to get those questions. And ain't going to be on Newsarama.
Yeah, oh, obviously. No. We're doing Ask Loeb questions on my board.
We could totally do that. That'd be great.
Absolutely. It'll be up tonight.
What time did he write me this? I seriously, I would totally call him, but it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. But I'll email him. Are you email him right now?
Yeah, I will.
Dave Bendis is putting an Ask Globe Q&A thread on the board right now. Absolutely. I have lots of questions.
Excellent. Before we say goodbye, I did want to take an opportunity to, because it is the end of the year, and we're about to go into a big year for you. Looking back at 2007, any, you know, thoughts on specific arcs and choices that were made in terms of the books that you write?
Or... Not for me to say. I will miss Bagley terribly.
Yeah.
I'm very bummed out that Halo was derided by the corporate process. That's the only real downer I can think of. Everything else went pretty smoothly for us. When I saw New Avengers as the number one book of the country still last month, I was blown away that by the support of that title and the support of Ultimate Spider-Man. I know it sounds douchey. I just can't thank people enough. Not a day goes by where I just don't go, oh, thank you. That's what my day's kind of filled with.
Sure.
And how seriously I take it. We goof around a lot here because, you know, it's comics and it should be goofy, but we also take it pretty seriously. And when I look back at the year, I'm pretty thankful.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, man. And I thank you, John, and your sponsors.
Oh, it's as always my pleasure. And I was going to say, as we look to 2008, of course, Secret Invasion is on everyone's mind, but...
Well, let me ask you. Taking me out of it, because that wouldn't even be fair, what was your best interview? What was your best podcast this year?
Oh, in 2007? That's a good question. Yeah. I really enjoyed talking to Kirkman. Loeb and Jesse Alexander, getting to know those guys even better has been wonderful. And that's been the great thing.
And I think the Loeb Q&A will be the best.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, exactly. I think we gave birth to something very interesting tonight, so that's going to be fun to see how that develops in 2008. But the most gratifying thing, honestly, has been to get to know guys like Chris Gage. I think he's an excellent writer, and I'm really glad that he is finding his audience, and I think it's been fun.
He has the best name in comics right now.
Gage.
He really has a great rock star name. Christoph Gage. David Mack has one of the best names in comics.
That's true, too. I can't pick just one because it's been incredibly
great. What was your worst?
Okay, let's see. That's a good one.
I told you I was,
Yeah. No, what is my worst? That's a good one. Who did I really like? And it's usually my fault for not really.
Who fucked you over, too? Who said they were going to do it and then didn't show up?
Okay. No one has, honestly, because, the only guy that keeps me waiting, and I totally respect him and it's okay, is Vaughn. Brian Vaughn, who, you know, honestly, is always very cool about it and stuff.
And he
hasn't, like, reached a point where he's committed and then canceled or anything like
that.
So, yeah, I mean, no one has. And, again, that's the great thing of the
Why don't you ask the question? Now my voice is back. I can do it. All right, Tao, what do you want to know? I think this is going to be the best season of Lost ever, and Escapist is on till now. I'm going to post about it on Brian's board, even though I only come there to promote shit. And, big fan of what's going on with the hood. That's great. What else you got?
Do you get a check for everything that Brian writes about the hood, Vaughn?
What? Money is so passe, man. I write comics about comics. And as soon as they're successful, I leave them. That's how much I don't care. I don't give a shit, man. I'm writing about tigers and shit.
Nice. About tigers, that's right, about lions.
I'm actually physically taking a bow in my studio.
Thank you. Very good.
Thank you very much.
But, honestly, and that's been the great thing, too, about convention season is then being able to go up to everybody face-to-face and saying, hey, thanks a lot. And then, of course, they get a look at me and I get incredibly frightened. It's like, oh, that was you? Holy shit.
Well, listen, every day of my life is that. But yeah, I'm very aware of that interaction, that subtext of every meeting I've had with everyone that reads my books.
But back to you quickly.
A lot shorter than I thought you'd be.
But Secret Invasion, is Ultimate Origins going to happen in 2008? Even the start of it?
No. It would have happened. It wasn't a matter of any silliness. It's just because it matches up to Ultimatum.
No, I understand that.
And it just, Ultimatum just wasn't ready, and it just, to have 8 months window in between the two was not building momentum. So they came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, we wanna rearrange it, and we feel so bad because we solicited. It's so stupid." And I said, "No, no, it's okay, but yeah, no, it's coming out." And the art, like the first two issues are drawn. I mean,
I understand that, but I just wondered if.
I just didn't want to come out at the same time as Secret Invasion.
Right.
I've accidentally buried a book once or twice, and I don't want to do that, you know.
No, I understand. No, I do understand that.
Yeah, because now on top of that, then, you know, Crisis is coming out, and there's all kinds of shit coming out.
So it is being pushed to 2009, or?
No, it's coming out end of the summer of this 2008.
Okay, that's
and,
cool.
And it'll ship gorgeous.
That's cool. And then an abstract question about Secret Invasion, as compared to House of M, which was the last big event that you had, you know, that was your baby.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, lessons learned from House of M, and I think you kind of touched on that when you said, in terms of various crossovers, you've given out ideas to other writers in terms of what potentially could happen, but...
Well, a couple of... They're very different in the sense that House of M was very self-contained, and it literally, the event starts on the second page of that book, where this one has been bubbling... for a good 2 years, you know, 3 years counting back before anyone was even told, you know what I mean?
Right, disassembled.
This is unto itself, and also it serves as a payoff book, so it's a very different animal.
Okay.
And it's almost a different genre, like one's almost fantasy, while this one's sci-fi.
Yes.
I'll tell you one big lesson, one really big lesson, and some people will not agree with this, but I flat out think it's true. If House of M 1 and 2 would have been one issue, like a double-sized first issue, the reaction to it would have been completely different going in.
I think you're right.
I absolutely think I'm right. So the first issue of Secret Invasion is double-sized and even a little more than double-sized. So, and I think it's quite a meal. And I think when people are being built up, and it's not just because of what happened in the issues, because the issue had a nice cliffhanger and all that.
Yes, yes.
But when people are being pre-sold a whopper of a story, like, here comes a story, you know what I mean? 22 pages just ain't going to do it. It just ain't.
I think you're right.
Infinite, what the last crisis was, I'm not being silly.
No, Infinite Crisis, yeah.
When John's Crisis came out, it was a double-sized issue, and that was a meal.
And Countdown.
On top of it being, you know, Phil... you know, really packing it in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that Countdown to Infinite Crisis as well was an oversized issue. And you yourself, in Avengers Disassembled, it was an oversized issue.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I studied the different reaction to certain things, and even like the reaction to my annuals, it's always larger, you know, it's always more positive. But really, I said, okay, when you're doing these events, you can't do 22 pages. You just can't do it.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, and I go, it's just because there are... In their head, it just has to be more. You told them it's going to be more, and even if the whole package is more, it's got to be more on top. So that's definitely a lesson learned. That's going to be that immediately went into production of the first issue.
That's very cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, we should likely plan a next talk midway through Secret Invasion. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Yeah. Because you know what? There's not going to be much to talk about until hey, it's just me going wait and see, wait and see. But we'll schedule it around. I think when the second issue ships, that's when people are just going to be screaming and yelling.
Okay.
And having a good time with it. So.
What month is that, man? Like early spring? March or April?
April, May.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long wait, Pip.
It doesn't feel that way to me. You know what I mean?
No, I understand.
I'm always having. Literally, I'm starting issue 6 next week, so it's like
there you go.
You know, like it's almost over for me. So it's weird.
No, I understand. Well, dude, you know everyone's excited about it, and we do look forward to it. And as you say, it's been brewing for a long time, and the payoffs, yeah. As other people have pointed out in these conversations, I think there has been a nice breadcrumb trail leading up to this. And, you know, both the Avengers books still click, and it's a blast.
Well, thanks, man. Well, I'll tell you one other thing, and then I'll let you go. But
sure.
The lesson learned that was a lesson that went well was during Civil War, the way we handled the Avengers book during Civil War.
Absolutely.
That was exactly what it should have been. And, boy, we went over, like, 20 different ways those books could have gone. I was even going to do like retcon flashback stories, just not even touch the lore during the thing. This was the right thing to do. And we're going down that road again in both Avengers titles where we'll be rewinding the clock and focusing on character. And I think some of those issues are going to be seen very, very positively, even if I'm annoying the shit out of you in the event itself. I think that you might dig the thing, but, who knows?
Well, as everyone points out, they love the Cage issue like that. I love the Cap issue with Chaykin, and it's fun to see the All-Star artists get a chance to do some of these characters. And, yeah, as you say, it presents the story in different perspectives, which, can always be entertaining when you get the different points of view.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I'm feeling very good writing them, and I'm very excited about the art. I think that's going to go well. So we'll see.
That's awesome.
I don't know. We'll see. Why don't you play these clips back for me in 6 months and me wallowing in the disaster that was this entire.
No, I'll be busy making the 30-hour best of the best.
I want to be the golden compass of comics, and I'm like, it's doing well overseas. Okay. $100 million and counting. Money's money.
We're big in Belgium.
We're huge.
They can't get enough of us.
Norway.
But there you go.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
My lad, a pleasure as always.
To my brothers on the board, I thank you so, so much. And, as always, support John and Word Balloon. He does this, I think, for free, or I don't know what he's getting, but he's not doing it. He's doing it out of the goodness of his heart, and you guys should support his podcast every week or whenever they come out.
Whenever they come out.
Yes. Word Balloon is a part of Jinx World as far as I'm concerned, and we should all support him as we support all of our friends.
You're a good man. I appreciate it. And, thank you for your time, and we'll talk when the invasion is underway.
You got it, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brian. Take it easy. Bye-bye. And that wraps things up for this edition of the Bendis Tapes. Again, thank you very much for the contributions from JinxWorld.com. And don't forget, as you heard, the email from Jeff Loeb has prompted a new feature, which will be starting on the very next episode of Word Balloon, the Loeb Report. You'll hear Jeff's views as he takes some questions about his various projects, both past, present, and future. And it's a spirited discussion, as it always is with Jeff, and I'm really glad that he consented to do this. So be looking for that in the days to come here on Word Balloon. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by MailOrderComics.com. Today's comics at yesterday's prices. If you've liked them before, you'll want to check them out today. They've got all new 75% discounts on selected pre-order new releases and more discounts than ever before. They want to be your subscription service for all your comic book related items. Right now you can order several Bendis trades featuring arcs of the Avengers, Ultimate Spider-Man, Alias, and more, all at 38% off the cover price. To see it for yourself, go to MailOrderComics.com. Word Balloon is also sponsored by Scott Reed and Shane White, creators of The Overman from Image Comics. This December, Image presents The Overman, a 5-issue sci-fi noir story that follows hired killer Nathan Fisher as he fails to stop an apocalyptic union of mankind and machine. His discovery of a cryptic plot to change the face of evolution sends him spiraling down a roller coaster of imminent destruction. Read what Broken Frontier calls a story that promises to be grand in scope. Mark Waid says, riveting, I couldn't put it down. And Ain't It Cool News says this is truly a memorable and impressive debut series worth checking out. If you want to see more details, check out their website and head to theovermancomic.com. If you haven't heard part one of the Bendis Tapes, it is on the RSS feed. Make sure you check out either the link at Newsarama or at iTunes or at all the various podcatcher sites, including the podcast Pickle Player that we also use at my MySpace page. But without further ado, let's wrap up this edition of the Bendis Tapes. Thanks again for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, you can find Word Balloon all over the internet. We're at Newsarama.com. We're at MySpace.com/WordBalloon, ComicSpace.com/WordBalloon. Also, all over iTunes and all the various podcast catching sites. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about the show, please contact me via email, john@WordBalloon.com. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2008.